Does it happen in the New Age movement as well?
Yes. It's fear, though. It's fear and guilt. In the Mormon religion, it's you can be excommunicated. You don't think other than what we tell you to think.
Yeah.
You can be expelled. And Catholicism is guilt.
Yeah. Yeah, the Mormon religion is really strong on authority. If you in Sunday school question, well, the prophet said this, and then you question anything, then the whole class turns on you and looks, what's your problem? Now, I found this, I've gone to a number of religions, and when I've gone to them, if there's some type of class, I ask questions, and it's interesting that people will just turn on you. Even a New Age one like Eckankar, I went to one of their meetings one time. And what I found out is the leader of Eckankar, the Eck Master, is really no different than the Mormon prophet. He's a Mormon prophet that has a different, fancier vocabulary than the Mormon prophet. But anyway, they were teaching this stuff about soul travel. So I had a question about soul travel. I said, that doesn't sound like soul travel to me. And well, our Eck Master says it is. And I said, well, excuse me. But it was just like being in the Mormon church and saying, well, you know, the prophet could be wrong on this. Well, what? The prophet is never wrong. The prophet speaks for God. And same thing in the Catholic church. Jehovah's Witnesses, same thing. It's interesting to go to these different churches and just ask us. All you got to do is ask a simple question. I have fun with the born-againers. Born-againers were showing a film some time ago, and after the film was over, I was at this desk and looking over the literature that they wanted to give me. And the gal says to me, do you have Jesus in your heart? And I says, where does it say in the Bible that I'm supposed to have Jesus in my heart? And she goes, like, remind me of Vidger on Star Trek, that piece of machinery that, you know, that was giving Kirk a bad time, and Kirk give it logic that it couldn't understand, and it started to smoke, you know. It's like smoke was coming out of her head. You know, I've read the Bible. It's got to be in there somewhere. You could tell she couldn't think of where it was in the Bible, because it's not in the Bible. You know, a lot of these things that they say. And she says, who are you? Where'd you come from? It's like automatically when just asking that one question made her feel I was some evil person from outside somewhere that had to be accosted. Excuse me for using a four-letter word here, but it's an interesting story. I have to tell you that I have to use it. Me and Curtis were at the fair. My nephew Curtis, some of you know him. And we accosted this booth, stopped at this booth that is giving out religious literature. They're saying like, well, are you born through the blood of Jesus and all this? And well, we've gotten a bad time. And then Curtis had a shirt on, and in really small print, it said, nosy little fucker, aren't you? You know? And the guy was looking, you know, the idea is you have to look really close to read it. Then when you look really close, you read that, you know. And so we were talking, and he kept trying to read what was on Curtis's shirt. And then he finally got really close, and he read it. And he says, well, what kind of Christian are you using a word like that? And I says, well, where does it say in the Bible that you can't use the word fuck? and he says, again, it does not compute. And his face started turning beet red. And he says, security! Security! Come over! He got really upset, started shouting at us, trying to get security on us. But it just really blew him away. He just turned from being Mr. Nice Guy to just outrageous. Okay, so the beast is unjust authority. And it's always been here even from the time of Jesus. As a matter of fact, it was the beast that crucified Jesus. Jesus came and he just was teaching, say, love your neighbor as yourself and stuff like that, and just upset these guys. And so they used their unjust authority to try him. And he didn't do anything wrong. They couldn't really find anything he did wrong outside of blasphemy, which is really a nebulous accusation. And on blasphemy, they pretty much put him to death. So the beast, unjust authority, crucified Jesus. Unjust authority chased down the apostles and killed every one of them but John. Unjust authority threw the Christians to the lions. Unjust authority put Hitler in power and persecuted everybody that didn't go along and ruled by tremendous fear. We're told that one of the heads was wounded, as it were, to death. The wound to the unjust authority happened with establishment of the Constitution of the United States. The Constitution of the United States established a free government where, instead of being appointed by somebody or by a divine right of kings or born into power, people were elected into power. This is why it talks about the followers of Jesus being the elect, because they elect. Make your calling and election sure, the Bible says. In other words, the power of election is a power that takes us away from the beast. We elect people. And the power of election give a wound to one of the heads of the beast as if it were unto death. But the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now the power in not only in the United States, but in all the rest of the world, is gravitating to appointed leaders. Everybody in the IRS is appointed, and they have more power to put the fear of God into us than any congressman ever thought of doing. But most of the people, it's amazing, almost 99% of everybody in government bureaucracy is appointed. They didn't get there because they earned the right, but they were appointed by somebody, and oftentimes it's, you know, the typical good old boy or good old girl network that gets them appointed. I think it's funny, when Artie used to work for the government, when I first married her, there was, what was Hoppy's position? Yeah, Winnie got moved up. What was that position? Yeah, anyway, it's the highest one in that division. Okay? He had left, and the guy that had to replace him, they were looking for a replacement. So they looked among the engineers, and they thought, well, we can't do it without any engineers, because we need every engineer where they are. And they looked in the different areas. And the only person they could find that they couldn't do without was a guy that was on probation because he wasn't doing a good job anywhere. And this is the only guy they could do without. So the guy that was in charge, even over him, appointed this ne'er-do-well as the head of her entire department. And that's the reason Artie is now working with me, because she couldn't stand the guy. He would go to some type of conference, and Artie would ask him, well, what did you learn? He said, oh, no, I just played golf, you know. And then she would go to him with some plan, and he would tell her, well, you think too much. You know, just relax. And Artie always wanted to get things done, but she would come home so discouraged. One day she was so discouraged, she says, I'm just going to quit and work with you no matter what. I said, well, I'm not really prepared for you, but I guess. So we've been working together ever since. So anyway, about drove her crazy. It's interesting that the guy that was the head of her department was the least capable guy in the whole department. It was just that he was appointed because they needed everybody else where they were, and they could do without him. And so they made him the leader. So I found that interesting. But it's typical of how the beast works. The beast gets a lot of people appointed in positions just because they're good friends. Another reason the guy, the ne'er-do-well, got appointed was he was a good friend with the guy that appointed him. They probably played golf together and everything. So that's interesting how that works. So the really good and talented people have a difficult time raising to the top because the way it works is the power of the beast appoints people. And they're often the people that don't deserve to be in the position. How many have worked for a big company before? Okay, have you found this to be the case, that often the people that are in charge don't know what the dickens is going on?
Our manager was a beginning manager.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he went and trained for 2 months, came back and had about 10, 13 people under him.
And did
he? He really didn't know what he was doing.
Yeah, and the less you know what you're doing, the more you start throwing your weight around. Because you have people, you know, complaining or whatever, and so to quell the complaints, you start throwing your weight around. And this is often what happens. But, so, when the United States was established, the Constitution and Bill of Rights was secured, the beast received a deadly wound because there was a danger to the beast that this power of freedom could spread throughout the entire world. But the deadly wound was healed and all the world wondered after the beast, and that's where we are now. We have the beast secure in all the fields, in education, in science, religion, psychology, very strong in medicine, and business. He's got his tentacles secure, and we have a handful of elected officials that seem to be representing the people, but they aren't. They aren't representing the people because the beast is now influencing them so strongly that even though they're elected by us and they say they're going to go to Congress and do something, do they do it? No. What happens now is both the Democrats and Republicans vote in lockstep. It doesn't matter what they say when we elect them. When they go there, they fall in alignment with the power of the beast and they vote as they're told to vote. And You look at how they vote. Oftentimes, 99% of them will vote right down party lines. The one guy who is really independent, there's been two people that have been very independent. One of them was, what's the name of that guy that said, beam me up, Scotty, all the time with a bad hairdo? James Traficant. James Traficant was a Democrat who didn't go along with what he was told to do. He was a little bit rebellious, and where is he now? He's in jail. Another guy who was really independent was George Hansen from Idaho. You know, he was very controversial, but he was independent, and if somebody told him to vote a certain way or go along with the system, he wouldn't do it. He was his own man, and where did he wind up? Jail. Two of the most independent ones from the beast went to jail. And George Hansen not only went to jail, he was tortured there. I mean, he lost all the toenails off his toes and had come up with sores all over. He was just about dead when he got out. And there's pictures of him on the internet. He's got pictures of the sores all over his body. He said they tried to poison him and they tried to kill him a number of times and they moved him from jail to jail. They put him in these airplanes and then fill it with gas. And he said he just about died while he was being transported from one jail to another. And it's a miracle the guy came out alive. I mean, the judge that put him in jail just really had it out for him. But look up George Hansen of Idaho on the internet. You can read the story. It's scary what that poor guy went through. A lot of people didn't like George because he was controversial. But he certainly didn't deserve what he got. And he got to jail for went to jail for... No, he tackled the IRS. He wrote a book criticizing the IRS, and that pretty much sealed his doom. And he got charged for misuse of people's money, but the people that he was supposed to be misusing the money of, none of them wanted him charged with anything. But so it was nobody that he offended wanted him charged. It was only the powers that be wanted him charged. So it's interesting how these two particular, one a Republican, one a Democrat, both defied the standards of their party, and both of them wound up in jail, ostracized by their party. So it's interesting. Now, you have to receive the mark of the beast on your right hand or your forehead. The mark of the beast, as I said, is not a physical mark. It's a mark that's always been available for thousands of years. It means, on the right hand, it means that when your authority that's over you tells you to do something, whether it's right or wrong, you will labor to do it. If your authority, your prophet, priest, or king tells you to do something that is wrong, or tells you to think a certain way, you will think that way. And this is the, yeah. And so, this working and thinking is the mark of the beast. Now, we escape the mark of the beast. In Revelation 14, it tells about 144,000 who escaped the mark of the beast. And these people have the name of God in their forehead. In other words, this symbolizes that you escape the mark of the beast by recognizing that by going within, you find God. And you follow the voice of God within. That's how you escape the mark of the beast.